I shall not. Look at the last word, want. Somebody say want. The word want means lack. So what he's really saying to me, what David is really saying, because Jesus is my shepherd, I won't need anything. How many of y'all want to get to a place that you know that Jesus got you so much that you don't need nothing in 2023?
Will they cry out to God and say, you are a burden lifter. God, you are my shepherd that I don't want for anything. God, you are the head. And I'm not the tail. You are the lifter up of my head. That's how you know and find out about
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.
To all you beautiful mothers that will be, and remember this, before we get to 1 Samuel, write down verse, book St. John in verse, chapter 15, I'm sorry, in verse number 8. And I want you to start, if you got children today, I don't care how old they are. I don't care how young they are. I need you to start praying over your children. That God will make them fruitful. That their lives will produce fruit from God. And not run around here looking successful only for you can look good. You know, we grew up in a time in the 60s, I did. But the favorite word of your parents was when you go somewhere, they would tell you, don't you go out there making me look bad. And that was good. Don't you out there go ruining my name. Okay. I didn't do a good job at it. I know Riri didn't. Somebody say amen. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to talk about it. Somebody say amen, right? But I heard the story. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all got a lot of whoopings? Put your hands up, got a lot of whoopings. Put them up high. Come on, get them. Put them up high so I don't feel lonely. Put them up high. Got that butt toe up, didn't you? Did y'all notice y'all first lady, y'all spiritual mother didn't raise her hand? Not to be mean, she didn't get whippings. She was a good girl. But today, parenting has to be really what it should be. It should be about the fruit, connected to the vine and connected to Jesus. And your prayer for your children should be every day, not about how successful they're going to be in society. That's all wonderful. But your prayer for your children should be, let them be connected to the vine so they can produce fruit. They're going to need it. They're going to need it. So I want to talk about this woman real quickly. But it's strange. Because so many ways this sermon has been preached, but I'm going to try to give a different angle today. So Pastor June is going to read that for us, starting verse number 1. And I really want you to pay attention. And I promise I ain't going to be up a long time, but I want you to really catch this today.
There was a certain man of Ramathan, Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, named Elkanah, the son of Jeroham.
Now I want y'all to pay attention to Elkanah.
The son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah.
Now I want you to understand that when you read this, it was not ordained by God for you to have more than one wife. A lot of people read this and say, that was ancient, that was the Eastern way of doing things. So this man had two wives, but it was considered a sin still to God. But how many of y'all know there are imperfect people that God got to use and make it perfect? And none of us perfect, so you are imperfect people, but imperfect people still serve a perfect God. Amen. 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 Right, yeah. Amen. Thank you. So he had two wives, one named Hannah. Now, here's a funny story. So go ahead, Pastor June. I'm sorry.
He had two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none.
So here's Peninnah having children. And the reason why he's married to Peninnah, he's not really in love with her. He marries her so she can produce. One of the most difficult things I had to learn as a man, not having your father want to be in your life. And one of the hardest things that God ever told me that had to hurt my feelings, when my father passed away back in 2014, I had tried for all these years to have a relationship with him, but it wasn't very successful. I always did right by him, but I couldn't get him to always do right by me. But the reason why I told him, he asked me one day, he said to me, why do you take care of me? Why do you do for me? And I've never done nothing for you, because I said, I don't want that on my children. I'm going to honor you, rather you honor me, because I need to have success. Because the Bible said, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long. But it also said that things go well with you. And I must admit that things have really gone well with me, because I honored you. Now, I might not like the way I was treated, but it doesn't make a difference. I had to make a decision that I wanted things to go well with me. Somebody say amen. And I don't believe, I don't care what you say, God's word does work. Yes. And it is real. Yes. You can deny all you want to, but I don't believe all that. That's okay. It doesn't make it be a lie. So he has this suck, he has this woman, Peninnah, he's not really in love with her. And one of the things I want you to say, and please don't take this the wrong way, one of the strongest statements that I had to hear myself was when I watched my mother all these years and dealing with the fact of, in some kind of way, she just stayed in love with my father, no matter, she had another child by me, she had another child again, and so she lived this whole life of rejection. And I just watched this over the years, kind of misdiscerned it. Because you misdiscern things when you're hurting. And so I misdiscerned really what mama was going through. I was so busy looking at how she was treating me and how she was behaving that I didn't really discern what was really going on with her. Except rejection, but there was more than rejection going on. And one of the most difficult things was I understood was when she would say these things, and she would say things to me, and it always referred to my dad. It was always how bad he was and how it was this and that. But she didn't do that with my two elder brothers. For some reason, it was always told to me. I don't know, because I was the oldest, or I was the one that she knew would take it. And I went through this whole scenario, and this is not to be negative, but I began to learn this strong statement that I didn't pay attention to. When I watch all these children being denied, and I watch all these absent fathers, and I watch all these men that have children but find a way not to want to be bothered and raise them, and these women are crying and say, what have I done? And they claim they love me, and I must admit to you that majority of them, it wasn't really love as much as it was. And there are some good men I hear that they deal with things and they don't know how to parent childs and children, so they just run away from the responsibility. But then there are some that I had to learn this hard statement from. There are men that have sex with us, and that's all they wanted. They never wanted a child. They just wanted to have sex with the person. And it's a hard thing, because you get to that point, you're like, what does that mean about me? I don't mean nothing about you. It just means what it is. It doesn't mean that you're the most horrible person in the world, but you have, the only time you can really get healed from something, you have to get to the bottom of something. Yes. And sometimes men don't really want the children, and you'll hear them say, I don't want another child, but you know, I'm not getting rid of the baby. And then you wonder why they're not doing anything with it, and you wonder why they don't care. You got those that say they want them, but they don't want them. But really what they wanted was, they really wanted more sex than they wanted the child. And you come to that conclusion. Kind of look at things from a different perspective. Why are you looking at me like that? Am I telling the truth? Yes. Play something soft, Bear. I need some music on that one. How you know I'm telling the truth, though? How many of y'all know I'm telling the truth? Yes. They didn't want the job. They just wanted sex. Sometimes when a child is produced and they don't want to have nothing with it, it's the truth that they never wanted it. They just wanted you. So here's this woman, keep playing Barry, that is getting ready to see a dilemma here, because this man has two wives. One can have it and the other one can't. Now look at this. Verse number 3, read it, Apostle Junior. Keep playing softly, Barry.
This man went up from his city each year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions of the sacrificial meat to Penaiah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters.
Now watch this. But Elkanah sacrificed and gave to his wife and his children. But watch what he gave Hannah.
But to Hannah he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children.
So you see here, they put emphasis on that he loves Hannah. He doesn't put emphasis that he loves Penai. He gets the children from Penai, but he really wants the children from the woman he loves. Watch this. He gives her a double portion. This is where we're going to go right here. Please, y'all, look at me. Everybody look at me. This is where we're going to go right here. All right? This is my own life. So, ladies, I'm going to minister to you today. Watch this, right? So, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved Hannah. But the Lord had given her no children. Watch this. Watch what Hannah goes through.
Hannah's robber provoked her bitterly to irritate and embarrass her.
So her husband's other wife harasses her. Girl, you can't have no children. There's some in life that never had children, wanted them, and couldn't have them. And that thought can become extremely attacking. I mean, what I'm talking about. You ever had that thought? You see people that got children and don't want them, and you say, Lord, why don't you give the ones that want them? Why do they have them and they don't? They don't want them. Hannah's looking at her husband, other wife, rival provoking her bitterly to irritate, embarrass her, because the Lord had left her childless. Watch this thing. It's very powerful. Watch this. Number 8 is the power one. Watch this. Keep reading, Apostle Junior.
So it happened year after year, whenever she went up to the house of the Lord, Penaiah provoked her, so she wept and would not eat.
So Penaiah, every time she come to the church, every time she go to worship God, trying hard to live with the fact that I want children, but I can't have none. Here you got this other one here harassing you. You ever been in a place in your life, going through a hurt, got a memory that's constantly after you, and instead of getting peace, you get harassed. But it was 8. 8 is the one that got me.
Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her.
Watch this, everybody.
Hannah, why do you cry? Why do you not eat?
He said, why are you crying? What you crying so much for? Why won't you eat your food? You love meat. That's why I gave you a double portion. Why is it that you won't eat? And why do you keep crying? Watch this. This thing is powerful.
And why do you not eat? Why are you so sad and discontent?
Why are you so depressed?
Am I not better to you than 10 sons?
Look what he said to her. Ain't I good to you? If you had 10 sons, ain't I better to you than 10 sons? But no matter how good people can be to you, ladies, when you have a place that I call being empty, no one can fix it but God. Watch this. This is something. Watch this. What is Elkanah? He's a person. That's what you call a frustrated fixer. What's a frustrated fixer? I lived it. Frustrated fixers are people that's always trying to fix people's problems, always wanting the best for them, even want more for them than they want for themselves. And it's like being a pitcher of water, and you pouring water into them, and at the bottom of their cup is empty, is cut out, because the water you pour into them is going straight to the ground. Because you got to understand that as a frustrated fixer, you can't fix a person who is broken. You want to marry somebody and you think they're supposed to save you. You get with men, you think they're going to be able to give you everything, but they still can't fix you. They sacrifice. You sacrifice. Trying to make a man love you when he's broken. And no matter what you pour in him, no matter what you give him, no matter what you do for him, you can't fix it. Can't fix you. He's a frustrated fixer. I live that life. Love these daughters. Leave it alone. Watch this. Elkanah is trying to figure out what he needs to do. He's trying to figure out, how am I going to fix this wife I love so much? How am I going to get her to stop all this crying? How am I going to get her back to eating? And some of y'all have this statement that you don't know you say all the time. You say, I will be filled. If I had a cup, if I had a glass and I was pouring water into that cup to fill you, but you see the water coming out the bottom. A lot of times, ladies, we have this same, this is our statement. If I would be filled, if I would be filled when? But the only problem, ladies, is the bottom of your cup got a hole in it. Your heart has a hole in it. There's a memory that you can't get over. There's a situation you can't get over. There's a scenario you can't get over. And no matter how many people you meet, no matter how many men you be with, they can't feel you. And when people come along trying to fill you, they become frustrated trying to fix you. You spend your life trying to make a man. I've never been loved right. Try to do everything you can. I've never been treated right. You do everything you can. I never had nobody support me. You do everything you can. But every time you look around, he's damaging himself. You become a frustrated fixer. Am I saying something today? You're trying to make him. He can't even make himself. You're trying to love him. He don't even love himself. You become a frustrated fixer. Hope I didn't offend anybody with that. When you are a frustrated fixer, you see the person you trying to fix as your failure. You say, I must be not saying enough right word. No. This has nothing to do with you. After years and years of pastoring these people, loving folk that never had a father, trying to be a father to them, watching them get offended, because you realize people get most offended to the people that's doing them right. They don't get offended with these knuckleheads. They're mad at you that's trying to be there for them. They make you a frustrated fixer. And I remember after years, and finally about a year ago, a pastor of the church, 32 years, dealing with the foolishness. And I remember talking to God. He said to me, "Are you ready now?" I thought I'd been ready the whole 32 years. He said, "No, you wasn't ready. You're trying to fix everybody." He said, "Are you ready now?" That's what he asked me, Kimberly. "Are you ready?" That's what he asked me, Jackie. "Are you ready? What am I ready for?" He said, "Are you ready to give me my job back? Because you've been doing my job for the last 32 years, trying to fix people that don't want to be fixed. You can't fix somebody when their soul is empty. You can't fix nobody." I'm almost done. You watch me be mad over everything. Moody. Unhappy just to be unhappy. You love them. Children try to love parents, and they have one particular child they take it out on. That's the one usually that's good to them. "I've done everything for you, but you quickly to snap on me than you are anybody else." I got to the point, I got sick and tired of them getting out there getting used and then coming here and blame us for it. So he takes responsibility. When you are a frustrated fixer, and you're pouring yourself into someone that can't be fixed until they decide to give themselves up to God, they'll turn around and have you pouring out and you'll be empty. So as he sees her emptiness, he starts making his failures be her failures. How many of y'all ever been there? How many of y'all ever been a frustrated fixer? Come on, let me see your hands. Put your hands up high. Let me see you. This ain't about being... No. With our children, we try to be frustrated fixers. You've been the best mother possible, but they make you feel like you ain't done nothing right. You're giving your money. You're giving your time. You're giving your sacrifice. But no matter what you do, then you watch them go out there, and people that don't mean no good to them, they'll submit to it. They'll love it. They'll treat it better than they treat you. They'll make you feel like you are to blame for their bad decisions. Thank you. I'm going to say a word to you. Look up here. I might as well get in trouble. Stop trying to fix a problem you didn't create. That's what I do, Courtney. I got so many children, biologically, spiritually, churches, and I have a new philosophy. I listen in seasons, I love, and I support. I'm not going to get into no battle with you. I'm not going to get in no fight with you. I'm not going to be going back and forth with you trying to fix something that you won't let God fix. It ain't my job. Parents, it ain't your job. There's some things Pastor Junior can't fix in me. Only God can fix them. There's some things you can't fix with your husband. Only God. But they have to surrender. There's some things you can't fix with your wife. Only God. But they have to surrender. Or you'll be a frustrated fixer. I'm hurry up. Thank you. So he said, am I not better than you? To you than 10 sons? Haven't I been good to you? Anybody honest enough to say that you've been so broken that even when people were good to you, you misused them? Let me see some hands of somebody. Maybe you know for a fact you've done it. That there are people that were good to you and you made them pay for it. Only 5 people. We'll leave it that way. I'm not believing you, but we'll leave it like that. Come on, Apostle June, let me hurry up.
So Hannah got up after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his seat beside the doorpost of the temple, tabernacle of the Lord.
Watch this.
Hannah was greatly distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish.
Keep praying, Barry. I'm sorry. Keep praying.
She made a vow saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction, the suffering of your maidservant, and remember and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. A razor shall never touch his head. Now it happened as she continued praying before the Lord.
Notice here. Hannah is getting ready to go through a transition. This is my main thing I'm telling you today. After God gets his job back from you, frustrated fixers. That individual, if they really want it, will go to the source that they know can fix it. Hannah, and looking at something she wants but can't achieve it. How many of y'all ever been somewhere where you wanted something but you couldn't achieve it? And it made you feel empty. Put your hands up if I'm talking about you. She seeks something she wants but she can't achieve it. Here's a secret. Everybody, or not everybody, but most of us have seen the movie Jerry Maguire. And one of the greatest statements that were made that had all the women in the world so overwhelmed. When was that Tom Cruise that played the part? Say it to her. You complete. Next thing you know, every brother using that line. I just want you to know, you complete me. Oh, oh God. Oh, oh, oh. Can't 2 half people make no 1 whole person? You're a frustrated fixer and she's a broken person. How can 2 half people make a whole people? 2 half people can't make a whole people. We need 2 whole people. You can't complete nobody. If you're broken, how can anybody complete you and you're not cooperative? You gotta get whole. You got to get whole. You got to get healed. Sorry, y'all. There are a lot of ways you can make me better. There's a lot of ways you can push me to be everything I'm supposed to be if I'm cooperative. But there's just something you can't complete in me. Because God didn't make it that way for you to complete me. He made it that way for me to be whole. So we can be one. Come on, somebody. Because if I can only, if I can complete you being a half person, I'm gonna be working for you for the rest of my life. Trying to make you happy, trying to fill a hole so large, it ain't enough sand to fill it. Some of us got hurt that only Jesus can fix it. The diamonds don't fix it. The trips don't fix it. The money don't fix it. Most people don't even understand when the Bible said, who can find a virtuous woman who is priced above rubies? Y'all didn't even get that. No, I'm not trying to be difficult. Ladies don't even get that. They don't even understand what that scripture means. And all they say is, ooh, I'm priced above rubies. No, that ain't what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying that we can't afford you. No matter what we give you, we don't have enough money to buy you. And the only way we can get you is as a gift. It's a terrible feeling to be a frustrated fixer. She prays. I'm going to get ready. The Bible says we can't trust the heart anyway. Because here's what people don't understand. The heart, if not fixed, is leaky. Your heart be leaking all the time, trying not to keep what's good in it. Because the enemy constantly wants your heart to leak so it does not keep in it what is good. That's why people today are easily offended more than they are now. I have never seen in all of my life so many offended people over the dumbest stuff. Can't say nothing to them, they snap. They can't stand correction. But here's the hypocritical side of them. They don't want nobody correcting them, but they want to correct everybody else. Those are double standards. And if you can't take correction, you ain't got no whole lot of authority. All you got is control. So here's Hannah, we're going to close in a minute. I said it a couple times, didn't I? To fix the frustrated fixer, you have to be able to tell to a person that you're trying to fix, I love you, but only God. You don't have to say no more than that. Rashawn, we got to say no more than that. All you can say is, I love you, but God. That's my new thing. I can't keep trying to make you do right. I can't keep trying to make you respond to me. Amen. I love you, but God. Ain't none of you walk around being mad at nobody. Ain't none of you holding grudges. And then you talking to your girlfriend and they tell you I wouldn't take that. Tell them to go somewhere and sit down. They ain't even got no husband. Go get a husband first before you tell me what you ain't going to take. Go get your man. Got so much advice on stuff they ain't never done. I wouldn't take you. We know you ain't got nobody. Because you're going to learn in time, you're going to have to take something. Just like folk got to take you. How many of y'all know you ain't perfect either? You ain't easy to live with yourself. Oh, I ain't got but three people. Yeah, I know. I know you think that when folk wake up with you. But if you look in that mirror, and there's some things about you, we praying about. I speak in tongues just like you do. Am I telling the truth, son? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. We both praying. Telling me you praying for me. Might need to pray for yourself first. So you can find out what's going on with you. Come on, Pastor, let's get this here.
Now it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, mind, only her lips were moving and her voice was not heard.
Here is the frustrated fixer. Now here is the empty-hearted Hannah. I don't know which one you are today. I don't know if you're a frustrated fixer. Because you've always tried to save somebody. You've always tried to fix somebody. Or are you barren in your heart about something that happened? About things that you didn't achieve? About mistakes you made? About what you didn't think you had got in life? I don't know which one you are today, but God will heal all of it. But are you willing to let him heal that? You might be living in a frustrated scenario, doing everything you can, and just can't get the response you want. Today, I'm asking you to give it up. But if I stop doing everything, what if I lose them? You ain't never had them. Because if you're doing everything, you ain't never had them anyway. Keep praying, keep reading it here. We're almost done. We're going to stop at 19 and I'm going to do one last verse and we're done.
So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Get rid of your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman with a despairing spirit."
She said, "I'm a woman that's empty." When you're empty, you look drunk. You make decisions that don't look good. Your behavior is not consistently of a Christian. People look at you and say, "How can somebody shout like that and be depressed so much?" That's a person that has a broken heart and they ain't telling it. That's a person that's carrying guilt and they ain't telling it. That's a person that can't get over relationships that done hurt them and they ain't telling it. That's a person that's been waiting on God for a long time and he had not responded and they ain't telling it. A broken, empty person. Trying to function as a human being. It's like a caged up animal. And when you finally let them out, they take off running. To the point that they even run away. Some of you right now, sitting up in here with titles on, if you could, you'd run away. You don't know how many times you said, "If I could just go somewhere and just get away from everything." There ain't one problem. When you get where you're running to, I forgot to tell you, you're there too. Because who you run away from is you. And you taking you with you. No matter where you run, you could go to Wisconsin, you could go to New Hampshire, you could go to Ecuador. There ain't but one problem. You are there. I'm going to go make new friends. And your new friends going to find out you. God, I've been there. Look at me, somebody. Ladies, I know what it's like to live life with a cold spirit. Apostle Judah knows it's like to have that incident. A cold spirit is like when your body is here, but your mind don't got on a plane. You over in Haiti, but your body's here. We know your mind ain't here because the way you think, the way you see things, the way you respond, we know you don't took a plane in your mind even though you're physically here. That's called a closed spirit. is really called living in an imaginary world, because they want you to run from reality. Matthew 4, and I close. I'm serious this time. I was serious all other times, but I guess at this time, at this time I'm more serious. She does get the baby after she goes through God. She does end up having a baby named Samuel, who becomes a renowned prophet. I'm here to tell you, if you let Jesus have it, you will get the baby. You will get your dream. You will get what God has for you. God will fix it, Ayana. Somebody help me today.
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.